Well, God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is and always will be the Christ. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray at the words of my lips, and I pray at the words of each and every one of our hearts would be good and pleasing in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but maybe there have been times in your life in which you have felt really close to God. Maybe you've had those moments where, you know, you just feel like you and God are walking side by side along the road. You're like, hey, everything I'm doing, I am in lockstep with God. I feel like when I pray, it feels like Jesus is sitting next to me, or He's sitting in the chair across the living room from me. You know, maybe you feel like when you read your Bible, you're like, man, you know, there's sometimes when you got like 5 minutes, 10 minutes to read your Bible, and you're like, hey, I that's all I got. But then there's other times when you're like, I'm going to read my Bible for like half an hour, 45 minutes. And you're like, man, I can't stop. I got to go to work, but I can't stop, you know? And maybe you're in one of those spaces where you're like, man, God, I can't get enough of you. I feel so close to you. I feel your blessings. I feel your peace. I feel all that. I just feel so close to you right now. Then there's other times when you don't. There's other times when you feel like as you're praying, you feel like your prayers aren't making it past the ceiling fan. Those times when your bedroom door feels like a prison cell. You feel lost, you feel alone, you feel isolated, maybe you feel abandoned, forgotten by God. If that's you today, you're not alone. Even the great King David, one of the greatest kings in the history of God's people in the Bible, felt that way. In fact, in Psalm 13, verse 1 and 2, David says these words. Listen to this, and if this relates to you, I hope that you hear it. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? I mean, hear those words. How long will you hide your face from me? It's like a child playing peekaboo with mom and dad. You know, when you have a child, you know, that's an infant, brand new baby, you know, a couple of days, couple of weeks old, and mommy's there playing peekaboo with baby. What happens when you cover your face? What does the baby usually do? Baby usually starts bawling, right? Baby starts crying because the baby doesn't get that when you cover your face, it doesn't mean that you're gone. It just means that they can't see you. But for a baby, not seeing mom right there, not seeing your eyes making contact, not seeing your smile, letting the child know that it's okay, not seeing you makes the baby think that you're gone and that they're unloved and that they're alone and isolated and they have to fend for themselves. It's scary. And here he says, how long will you forget me? Forever? That's what it feels like. How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul? Like, you know, how long do I have to figure it all out in my own mind, all of the problems that I'm going through, rather than having counsel from God? Perhaps that's how you feel today. If so, you're not alone. King David felt that way. I felt that way. I'm sure some of us in this room have felt that way. All of us have felt that way, and some of us may be feeling that way today. And because of that, as we prepare for Easter over these next 6 weeks, we're starting a sermon series called Finding Your Way Back to Jesus. And today we're going to talk about reconnecting with God. So if that's where you are today, this is what we'll be talking about. First thing we do to reconnect to God is first thing we have to do is admit it. First, you have to admit that you lost it. You have to admit that you lost that connection. You have to admit that when you were tuning in the radio, now I know radios on our cars don't do this anymore. It's, you know, we've lost that ability. You push a button and it goes to that. But, you know, back in the day when you had a radio dial, you had to actually scroll it across to find, you're like, there's a song I'm listening to. And if you turn it too far, it goes back to static. And if you turn it too far this way, it goes back to static. But you got to find that right signal right there. And, you know, and so as you're turning it, you know, you have to admit that maybe I've lost it. I've got too much static right now. I'm not hearing it coming clearly. There's an old adage that says we're only as sick as our secrets. Because, you know, there's things that all of us have that we're embarrassed of, we're ashamed of, we'd rather no one else knew. Whether you're the president of the United States or whether you're a janitor in the lowliest place, we all have things that we struggle with that we don't want other people to know about. Things we think, if you knew me, you'd run screaming into the woods away from me. And here's the question. Do you feel like your prayers aren't getting anywhere? Do you feel like you're stuck and you're lost and isolated? But then you come to church on a Sunday morning and someone asks the greeter, the elders, you know, the pastor asks, how are you doing? And what do you say? Great, I'm doing fantastic. It's a great week. When really on the inside, we're dying. And here at church, the one place where we can talk about metaphysical, spiritual, emotional realities in our lives, because, you know, at work, you can't really usually talk about that unless you work in a counseling office. Here in the place where you can have those conversations, what do? We often shy away from doing it. We often keep our mouths shut. How often, maybe you're like me, but too often my pride has kept me from opening my mouth when the person I'm talking to is someone who could actually help. How many times have we pretended like we've got nothing wrong, and we keep going through the motions, hoping no one's going to notice? Well, all the while, God knows. Revelation chapter 3 says this. Jesus says to the church, he says, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. If only you were either cold or hot. You know, no one wants to drink lukewarm coffee. You know, you want cold coffee or you want hot coffee. You don't want lukewarm coffee. And that's what Jesus is saying. I know your works. You're neither cold or hot. If only you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You see, this is honestly, and this is just a moment of honesty here, this is a big problem for pastors a lot of the times and church workers. Sometimes serving God isn't a delight, but it becomes a duty for us. We often find so much of our identity in ministry that we don't feel like we can tell anyone else. We can't share it with other people. We can't share it with our congregation when we're struggling with our faith, with our walk with God, or with how we're doing in our walk with Jesus. We just feel like we have to pretend it's all okay. Keep on keeping on, you know, fake it till you make it, all those things we say here in America. But here's the thing. The first step in reconnecting with God is admit it. You have to admit it. You have to tell God. I mean, I know you're surprised, but he already knows. He already knows you're not doing well. I mean, that's what Revelation 3 says. I know what's going on. I get it. I know you're struggling. But we have to admit it. We have to talk to God about it. And so if that's you today, I want to encourage you to start off today by just saying to God, maybe in a prayer, just saying to God, God, I feel distant from you. Lord, I'm struggling. Father, I need help. I want to be close to you again, and I'm having a hard time doing it. You know, I want to encourage you to do that today. And then not only tell God, but then also tell someone else. Because here's the thing, you know, I'm going to give a lot of things that you can do, but I'll just share from my own life. The things that I'm going to tell you, you know, sometimes that you can work it through on your own, but 99% of the time, it works best when you talk to someone else. It works best if you talk to your pastor. It works best if you go to a counselor. It works best if you have a friend you can confide in and share, hey, here are the things I'm struggling with. I need to bounce it off of you. I need your help. We like to work in isolation, but we get freedom when we're together with the body of Christ. So I want to encourage you, tell our pastors, tell a leader, tell a small group leader, tell a brother or sister in Christ who can pray for you, who can talk to you, who can check in on you, who can encourage you, who can support you, who can help you carry this burden of life with you. But the first question I want to ask is, why is it so hard? Why is admitting it just right off the cuff? Why is admitting it so hard? Well, because it requires you to dig deeper. If only admitting it was the only thing you had to do, then it might not be so hard. But see, admitting it requires us to dig deeper. It requires us to ask why and what part we play. In fact, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." So times are refreshing. We all want to be refreshed. I want to be blessed. I want refreshment. I feel like junk right now, and I want to be refreshed. But here's the problem. In order to get to refreshing, I have to do that. I have to repent, turn back, and confess my sins. And that's hard because I have to say, I'm not perfect. I don't got it all figured out. I don't have all the answers. And you know what? I might be a part of the problem. I can't just blame everyone else. And so admitting it is hard. But once we admit it, once we start to repent, then it leads us to the second point, which is acknowledging where we lost it. And that's the process of repentance. You see, repentance, oftentimes we think repentance is just saying, I'm sorry, I'll do better next time, thank you, that's it, I'm done, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But repentance really isn't that. Repentance is actually figuring out what I'm doing wrong, and then making a decision to change, turn around, and go back to God. You see, when I used to work in a summer camp, we were up in the woods in California in the San Bernardino Mountains, and we were in like a valley, and it was all woods. I don't know if maybe you or your kids have been to summer camp, and there's like fields and ball fields and stuff. We didn't have that. We were like trees everywhere. So one tree looks like another tree, and it's real easy to get lost if you don't know your way around. But thankfully, even though we felt like we were in the middle of nowhere, we were actually really in like a neighborhood. It just didn't look like it because it's the mountains. And so what we would tell kids, we'd stand at the campfire circle and we'd let them go and play games in the evening. And it's a different world. We'd let them go unsupervised. Just realized that. Wow. Never do that today. But anyway, we'd let the kids go and play games and they would go out and we'd say, okay, so if you're going this way and you come across a dirt fire access road and power lines, stop, turn around, go back because you've gone too far. If you're going this way and you run across a high school and a football field and a track and a bunch of stuff like that, stop, turn around, come back, you've gone too far. If you're going this way and you run into a street, stop, turn around, come back, you've gone too far. And if you're going this direction and you run into a neighborhood with chain link fences and people's backyards and dogs barking at you, stop. That's what repentance is. Stop, turn around, come back, you've gone too far. Repentance isn't just barrel on through the high school when I'm supposed to be back there, or barrel on through the neighborhood where the dog's going to attack me, or barrel through the big city street. Repentance is stop, turn around, go back because I've gone too far. Figure out where did I go wrong and don't go there anymore. It's not just saying I'm sorry. It's figuring out what I did wrong and don't do it anymore. And so, as we look at this today, the second thing we do is acknowledge what we've done. It's like the husband and wife who are lost looking for a restaurant. She says, honey, we're lost. You need to stop and ask for directions. The husband says, I'm not going to stop and ask for directions because besides, I'm not lost. I know exactly where I am. I just don't know where I'm going. You see, the truth is God never leaves. Whenever we're going through this dark night of the soul or the wilderness or the desert, God's never the one who's left. I'm always the one who's walked away. I'm always the one who got distracted by the shiny object. I'm always the one who thought he knew better. I'm always the one who turns my back. Now, maybe you're better than me, but I'm always the one who's turned my back on him. God knows exactly where he is, and he knows exactly where I am. I'm the one who doesn't know where I'm going. So there are lots of ways we can get distracted from God. And so in your bulletin, you've got a few of them listed. You can check box some of them, write your own in there, as you process through this. One way is busyness and distraction. Are you so busy trying to keep the plates of your life spinning that you're distracted and you've forgotten about God? I know I have been. Have you ever said to yourself, I know getting into a small group is important. I know reading my Bible is important. I know going to church is important. I know praying is important, but I just don't have the time. I think some of us have said that before, haven't we? We have so many things on our schedule. And that's what, if you were a part of the Red Letter Challenge a few weeks ago, the very first week was all about being with God. It was all about being and spending time with Jesus. It was all about finding our identity with him. And Zach just wanted us to spend 1 hour one day to not do stuff and instead just be. And if you were part of that, how many of you were a part of that and you found yourself being like, I gotta check my phone. What's on the news? How many, I gotta answer an email. I'm starting to go stir crazy. This hour's too quiet, I can't handle it. Because Zach was saying, we like to be human doings, not human beings. Sometimes we have so much stuff on our schedules, it distracts us and keeps us from God. Sometimes it can even be good things. It's not just bad stuff that keeps us from God. Sometimes I'm so busy, you know, I've been convicted by one of our other chaplains in hospice. Sometimes I'm so busy praying for hospice patients that I don't pray for myself and for God's sake. You know, I had a chaplain ask me one time, you know, Chaplain Tim, do you ever pray for, you know, do you take time praying during the day? I'm like, of course I'm praying. I'm visiting like 6 people a day. I pray with every one of them. He says, yeah, but do you ever pray? And it hit me that day. No, I don't. Between those visits, I wasn't praying. I wasn't asking God to bless my drive or bless my next visit or bless fill in the blank or just spending time being with him in that moment. Sometimes we can be in church and we can go weeks serving in the nursery or teaching Sunday school or setting up for family events. And you can be here every Sunday for 2 months and realize that you didn't even come to worship once because you're so busy doing stuff. Not only is busyness sometimes a problem, but also disobedience. Not doing what God commands us to do causes a disconnect every time. You see, whenever you and I sin, what we're saying to God is, God, I know how to live my life better than you do. I know how to run my life in a way that you don't know how. I don't trust you to do it right. And so therefore, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. So when I lust or when I steal or when I fill in the blank, any of the Ten Commandments, every time I break one of the Ten Commandments, I'm saying, God, you made a mistake when you put these commandments together. I actually have the right answer, so I'm going to fix it by doing it my way. So step 2 in coming back to God is examining myself and getting rid of anything that's in the way. 1 John 1 verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's when I humble myself and I say, I don't got all the answers, Lord, you do. I need to admit that I can't, if I could figure it out, I would have figured it out by now, but I can't. I'm done trying to pretend like I got it all together. I need you to help me. So I want to encourage you guys, grab a pen and paper today, do some journaling. Here's some prompts I want to encourage you if you're struggling with this right now. I want to encourage you to ask some specific questions. One, I want you to ask, when did I start struggling? You know, sometimes we think, oh, I've been struggling with this for like the last 3 years, when maybe it's just been the last 3 weeks. But whenever something's going on in my mind, I can only speak for myself, but whenever something's going on in my mind or my heart, it always gets bigger, right? As long as it's bouncing around in my head, it keeps getting bigger every time it bounces. And so 3 weeks feels like 3 years. And I feel like I've always struggled. I've never been happy. I've never been close to God. But if I start journaling it, I realize, well, wait, it's only been since this time or that time. So ask, when did I start struggling? Then ask, what was going on in my life when I was going through that time, when that happened? 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 3 years ago. What happened? Did something happen? Did I go through a major life transition? Did I change jobs? Did my husband lose his job? Did I or a loved one get diagnosed with a disease? You know, what changed? What happened at that time? You might find out that something happened that triggered the change. And, you know, you can point right to that and say, oh, I'm not crazy. It's not me. I'm not like a, you know, some crazy Christian person. I'm grieving a death. I'm grieving a loss. I'm suffering because I'm not feeling as much strength because I've got cancer. You know, fill in the blank. Then ask, what part do I play in this? Maybe you can't put a specific thing to it, but maybe that's something you're dealing with. You know, ask yourself, am I holding on to anger, resentment, bitterness? Am I mad at my boss or mad at my cousin or mad at my mother, father, husband, wife, child, so-and-so? Am I afraid of what's on the horizon? Am I afraid of the future and I'm struggling to trust God's in control and that He's got it? Am I feeling guilty? Am I feeling ashamed for something in my past that I've done? Did I begin drinking too much? Gambling, watching pornography, binge eating or crash dieting? Did I do something? Have I been doing something that's unhealthy or sinful to cope with these things? I want to encourage you to get specific. It's amazing when you do this, even things that you think have nothing to do with your feelings and where you are today are actually really connected and related, and maybe even roots of what you're going through today. I want to encourage you, as you do this, if you're struggling, write these things down, share it with Pastor Mike, share it with me, share it with a trusted Christian friend, a counselor, so you can walk through this together and have someone encourage you. And then ask yourself, how is this sin or this struggle manifesting itself in my life? And then confess it. Get it out. Give it to God. Get it out of here. Get it out of here and give it to Him. Let Him take it. In fact, Psalm 32 says this, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." You ever felt that way? As it's bouncing around in your head or bouncing around in your heart or bouncing around in your stomach and you're just anxious and you're just stressed and you're just feeling it and it just, you feel like your bones are wasting away and I can't tell anyone, I don't want to share it, and you feel like, and it says, and day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was gone. I didn't have the strength to get up and have breakfast. I didn't have strength to go to work. I didn't have strength to take a shower. I didn't have strength to do anything. But then he says, I acknowledged my sin to you and I didn't cover up my iniquity. I didn't make excuses. Well, but if you knew how bad that person was, if you knew how much they mistreated me, Lord, you would be okay with me having this bitterness. You'd be okay with me being angry. If you knew how stressful it is, you'd be okay with me drinking. I acknowledged my sin to you and I didn't cover it up. I didn't make excuses. But in fact, I said, Lord, I'm open. I'm gonna bear myself. I confess my transgressions to the Lord. And I know that you forgive the iniquity of my sin. David, after he prayed this, he was lifted. He speaks of how the Lord took him from his bones wasting away and groaning all day long to freedom and peace. David describes how freeing it feels when we're finally able to dump that stuff that's on our hearts by telling God and telling others. And then after we do that, we have to ask for help. We have to tell God, I can't fix this on my own. I have to own up to that. I can't fix this on my own. And I have to trust that God will help me. You see, that's what faith is. We as Christians throw the word faith around and belief around a lot. But what does it mean? Faith and belief, Martin Luther teaches us, means to basically say, Lord, I trust that when I ask you to do something, I trust that you can and will do it. You know what? James 1 verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. I have to believe that God can, will, and more importantly, even wants to bring me back to him. It's one thing to believe that God can bring me back to him, but he's not going to. Or one thing to believe that God will bring me back to him, but I have to do it all. But here it is. We have to believe that God can, will, and wants to bring me back to him. It's one thing to know that God so loves the world, but it's a true faith. It's a whole nother thing to trust that because God loves me, he sent his son to die for the world. You see, God loves me. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And you put enough of us together, and we've got the world that he died for. It's easy to say, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But man, I am the exception. I'm that one person that my death, or that Jesus' death can't touch. Oh, I'm that person that... If only God could help me. If only God could do this for me. If only. It's true faith when I say the Lord did do this for me. It's like the man who came to Jesus and he said to Jesus, Lord, I believe, but I'm struggling to believe. Help me in my unbelief. Help me to believe that what you're saying is true for me as it is for the whole world. James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. God promises that when we're distant from him, when we feel like we've lost our way, when we feel like we're abandoned, the solution's actually pretty simple. Stop, turn around, go back because we've gone too far. Get out the map, get out the compass, turn around and go back. He says that when you and I draw near to him, he draws near to us. You weren't meant to live the Christian life in your own strength or power. And that's why verse says, humble yourself, and what will he do? When I lower myself, he'll raise me up. When I humble myself, he will exalt me. But here's the problem. Humility is hard because it requires me to be honest with myself, with God, and with others. It requires me to take off that facade, which I'm not used to doing, and share the load that I'm carrying with God and with others by accepting God's help. We have to accept God's help. Because you see, even Jesus felt abandoned by God. Jesus quoted Psalm 22 when he hung on the cross on Good Friday. It says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you don't answer me, and by night, and I find no rest. Jesus felt it. But the difference between Jesus and you and me is Jesus actually was abandoned by God. Jesus actually was forsaken by God. On the cross on that dark Friday, Jesus was isolated and forsaken so that no matter how much you and I feel like we are, God never would let us go. He turned his back on his son so that he could promise that he would never turn his back on you or me. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14 says, then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will hear you. And you will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes. How often when we're struggling do we go to secular books and secular things, or we turn to addictive substances, or we turn to all sorts of other things? But what does Jeremiah say here? Seek me, find me, pray to me, come to me, seek me with all your heart. You see, God doesn't always take away our problems and our pain or promise a perfect life. He doesn't promise it's going to be easy, but he does promise he'll be there. He promises he'll hear us. Throughout the Old Testament, God's chosen people, Israel, turned their backs on him over and over and over. They felt abandoned over and over and over again, but they never were. Every time they turned and repented, God showed up and rescued them from slavery in Egypt, rescued them from bondage in other countries, rescued them from whatever their plight was. All they had to do is repent, turn around, and go back to him. And that's his promise for you today. You're not alone. Your prayers don't fall on deaf ears. God is here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the peace which passes all human understanding would keep and guard all of our hearts and all of our minds in you. Lord, we thank you that you have never abandoned us, and you never will. You turned your back on your son so that you'd never turn your back on us. We thank you that today here, you give us all the resources we need. You give us brothers and sisters in Christ. You give us your body and your blood. You give us your saving grace so that we can come back to you and know that you are there. Lord, give us strength, give us mercy, and give us your grace today. We pray this in all in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. At this time, we'll receive our offerings and encourage you guys, if you haven't taken a moment to yet, please fill out the communication card that's in your bulletin, and you can drop that in the offering basket as it passes you by this morning as well.